Well, we've all been through it. We've all been born. None of us remember it. But we're here because we've been born. And as with all of the things in creation, God's creation is here to reflect God's salvation. It's here to reflect God's saving of his people. And so John introduces to us this topic about being born. I wanted to have a look in this first little while at what the New Testament says about this whole business of being born and being born again. And obviously we are familiar with that passage in John chapter 3 where the Lord Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. You must be born again. And often, and in that particular case, the word again means to be born from above, from a higher place. To be born from a place called heaven or a man called God, it's to be born from the first, from the beginning, from the very first. It's to be born anew, it's to be born over again, but it's to be born from above. We preach like as Ezekiel did. We preach trusting that the Lord would create life. And the evidence of life, the evidence of the birth is in this verse that we've been looking at, isn't it? The evidence of being born again, according to John 1:12, is as many as received him. Not receiving the things about him, receiving him personally. And it comes with power. Power from on God, a privilege, a right, an authority. He gave that right, isn't he? The children of God have the right, the authority, the privilege of declaring themselves to be the sons of God. To them that believe on his name. So there are the two great evidences in our text, aren't they, of what it is to be born again, to be born from above, is to believe on the name, to believe on the character of our God. We must be born again. We've all had a birth. We've all had a birth from Adam. All of us can trace our lineage back to Adam. You shake the family tree of anyone in this world, and what you'll find out eventually will drop Adam. And it's a common understanding amongst people that we are somehow all children of God. Aren't we all children of God, people say? Well, we are all God's creation. There's absolutely no doubt about us, about that whatsoever. But the scriptures make it abundantly clear. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about people who, men, religious men, whose father was the devil. We are not, according to the scriptures, all children of God. You turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, and let's see what it is. We do talk about our first birth again and again and again, and it's a birth into, as John would have it, it's a birth that has been, that comes with us being born into that darkness. We have no comprehension of the light of God. We are born into this world and the world knew him not. It's all the testimony of the fall. We need a new birth from heaven, but all of Adam's children, let's read this with me now in Genesis chapter 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God he made him. He made Adam in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. That a son is in italics there. Adam begat, what are the next three words? in his own likeness, all of Adam's descendants are begotten in the likeness of Adam. So we are not, according to the scriptures, all the children of God. We can claim to all be the children of Adam. But the children of God are a very, very special group of people. They are born from above. They are born by a spiritual new birth. They're born by an operation of God. They're born again. They are born again. So this is such a prominent theme in John's Gospel and such a prominent theme in the Scriptures. When John introduces something and then he fleshes it out further on, and we see a progression in John's writing in his Gospel, and then we see that further elucidated in his letter, particularly 1 John. So just go through John's Gospel and look at these instances of being born again. In verse 3 of chapter 3, he says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There is no sight of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom, isn't it? He is the king of the kingdom. In fact, the king has a dominion. You will only ever see the king's dominion if you are born again. Nicodemus didn't have a clue what that was. And in fact, I'm more and more convinced as time goes on that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to Ezekiel 36. And even though Nicodemus knew it off by heart and could have given you chapter and verse of all the descriptions of the Messiah, there was the Messiah standing before him, and Nicodemus didn't have a jolly clue, because you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Verse 5 of that same chapter, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So there's no seeing the kingdom of God, there is no entry into the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and the Spirit. And then in verse 6 he goes on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The very best that fleshly activities can do is leave you in the flesh. The flesh will never rise any higher than flesh. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth. This is a lovely description, isn't it? The wind, that word is the word that's so often used for spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is a divine blowing of God, isn't it? It is a divine activity of the Spirit of God. See, most true believers will struggle to tell you exactly when they are born again. In religion, you come forward at some program, don't you? And you put your hand up and you pray the sinner's prayer, and then someone pronounces over you that you are now a child of God. You are now a child of God because of your activity. Most true believers have difficulty citing precisely when they were saved and when they were born again. The evidence of being born again is faith. The evidence is in our text, isn't it? It's receiving him. It's believing on his name. It's that new birth that sees the kingdom of God and sees the king and sees him as glorious, sees him upon his throne, sees him upon the cross, sees his blood as precious, sees him loving your eternal soul and shedding his life's blood because he loved you everlastingly. The Pharisees knew nothing of him. And they had a blindness, which was a culpable blindness. And when the disciples, who were as ignorant as them in so many ways, they saw the man born blind in John chapter 9, who sinned? Who sinned? That this man was born blind. He was born blind because of the sovereign purposes of God, and he was left in his blindness all of that life, so that he could be, in John chapter 9, a glorious testament to what it is to be born again. What it is to be born again is to have eyes, new eyes, to see, and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 16, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the birth, doesn't it? When a woman, John 16:21, when a woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. You women can relate to that, can't you? We had a friend who had a baby in Sydney, and it was a traumatic birth, and almost immediately it was born, she said, I'm going to have another one. It's remarkable, isn't it? Anyway, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing, I'm pleased. But the picture, of course, is a picture of the fact that the birth is a birth through trial, isn't it? And at the end of the trial comes joy. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of his own birth. Pilate asked him a question in John 18:37, are you a king? Are you a king? I know a king, says Pilate. Well, my king is called Caesar. Are you a king? They call you a king in mockery. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born. And for this cause I came I into the world, that I shall bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I just wanted to continue looking at some of the other verses in the scriptures that speak of this necessity of being born again. It's a constant theme in the scriptures, isn't it? That there is a birth in salvation, there's a birth of a new creature, isn't it? It's a new man. It's Christ formed in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a new man, according to Ephesians 4, created in righteousness and true holiness. If you think that's got anything to do with natural birth and human activity, then you have no idea what any of those words mean. What a glorious thing. Created in righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. True holiness. Whose holiness? Certainly not ours. What a glorious thing to be born again. What a glorious thing to see the kingdom of God. What a glorious thing to have the privilege, the right, the power bestowed on you from God. What a glorious thing to have his name proclaimed, so you can say, that's my Saviour. That's what the Word says. That's what God says about his Son. That's what the Holy Spirit testifies of his Son. That's what he says of himself. Paul saw himself in 1 Corinthians 15:8. He said he was born out of due time. He wasn't born as the other apostles. He had a birth from heaven. And you recall that birth in Acts chapter 9. There was a light that came from heaven and a voice came from heaven. And Paul's ignorance is displayed. Who art thou, Lord? And Paul is left in blindness for those 3 days. What 3 days they must have been as he contemplated. Who is this? Who is this? What extraordinary 3 days of travail for him to think and to know that he had met God and survived. What lay before him? So the new birth is nothing other than being in the presence of God and meeting God and surviving. In Galatians 4:22 and 29, Paul talks about
the people, the religious people, he that was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Those who are under the bondage of works of any sort are the bondwoman. But he who was of the bondwoman, and speaking of Ishmael, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he who was of the free woman was born by promise. All of God's children, all of God's born again children are born of promise, born by promise. And the result of that is then in verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. The people of works, the people of legalism, the people in religion, that is a religion of the works of man, will always be persecuting. They'll never understand. They cannot see. They cannot enter the kingdom of God. They can't receive him. They can't believe on his name. And yet, the greatest blindness they have is all their religion that declares that they are the children of God. One of the things that's remarkable, isn't it, about receiving and believing and being born again and in enjoying those blessed privileges that come by the Spirit of God to the children of God is how rare it is in this world. You might recall that parable of the soils, the parable of the seed. The sower goes out to sow. It's remarkable, isn't it, that in every one of the three soils, the pathway, the stony ground, and the ground of the thorns, in every one of them, the seed came, and it's the word of God and the gospel, and it came and it took root. And it had for a little while a life within it. And it had for a little while a life that seemed encouraging. And yet, just a quarter. Now, God's mathematics are different to our mathematics, but there's an extraordinary picture, isn't it, of the amazing privilege of being someone who believes and someone who receives the word of God. The privilege of being born again. And see, how are they born? Verse 1 Peter 1:23, they're born again. They're born again, not of corruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Churches, God's churches that have the gospel, just want to preach the gospel and preach the word of God again and again and again, because that's how people are born again. They are born again by this remarkable fact of God taking his word and making it spirit and life to people. 1 John, we'll just finish with a few of these verses out of 1 John, because I want you to see how big a theme this is in John's thinking and how important it is that he lays a foundation, a glorious foundation, in the verse that's before us in John 1. Chapter 1, verse 13. In John, 1 John 2:29, our God says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And 1 John chapter 3 is one of the most remarkable chapters in all of Scripture. In fact, it is so remarkable that the religious world has to change the verbs to be able to explain it. You read their commentaries, I've read stacks of them. They have to change the words and change the verbs for people to understand it. Behold, let's read starting verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, we should be named, entitled, named as God's children, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Please don't be surprised when people don't understand who you are. God says they can't and they won't, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And what the commentators do there is say, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not continually or habitually. Anyone dare claim that of themselves? God says they sinneth not. In him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. John is talking about the new birth, which is a new creation. It's Christ in you. Christ cannot sin. And if Christ's in you, Christ has taken away your sin, and your sin is gone before God. That's what it is to be justified. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, because for his seed, which is Christ in you, remaineth in him. And he, the seed that's in you, cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. Let's turn over to First John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. So John is repeating here what he has before us in John, in his gospel, hasn't he? As many as received him, believed on his name. Whosoever believed that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, they loveth him who causes the birth, the creation, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And I love the tense of that word, believeth. Where does the believing come from? The believing comes from an activity of God. It's in the perfect tense. It's a perfectly completed activity, and it's in the passive tense. We are made to believe. We have a sight of God. What's the evidence in 1 John? You love him and you love the brethren. It's as simple as that. Love. Love. Verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What's the victory? Faith, isn't it? And faith is looking out of ourselves and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for all. Verse 18 of chapter 5. And we know, this is something God's children know, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
But he that is
begotten of God keepeth himself, that the wicked one toucheth him not. Born. What a remarkable privilege. Born of God.
The power from God. The privilege of God. The right, the authority
to be named as God's children. Okay, let's have a break and enjoy our time with our visitors.